Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the late night edition of the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host, Dr. Elfrida Love, and this is the day, the night that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to read to you Psalm 1, Numbers 1, 2, and 3. And it reads, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." I have read to you Psalm 1, Numbers 1, 2, and 3. May the Lord had a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Today is a very special day because we are praying with love. This has been probably the longest week of my life, but I am happy to be able to be on air today and have a reasonable portion of my health and strength because God is just that good. So we're going to pray tonight, and then I want to give you some things that the Lord has given unto me and that I'm working on concerning our youth. We need to do a lot of praying. We need to do a lot of community things. And I'm going to be very honest. There are some things that we as a people are unable to change just because of genetics and just because of the unwillingness. But we need to change the things that we have control over. That's what the Lord is saying. So what I'm feeling before I get into the prayer is many people are tired. They're just stressed out. They are at their wit's end. And God is saying, hang in there. Why are you hanging in there? You're hanging in there because you know that you serve a true and living God. I was reading many stories about our youth and just the things that's happening, and it's just very alarming and disturbing. And it's very important that we as parents, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, community leaders, that we really grab hold to the child or children that we have under our roofs. It's very important. No one can fix genetics. There is no possible way. The doctors have not been able to figure out a way to rewire the brain after it's damaged from maybe substances that was used while the baby was conceived. There is no way. The only way that we're going to be able to get back to the basics and get back to our youth is through prayer, believe it or not. A lot of people think that I was going to say a special formula. No, it's going to take prayer. That's what it's going to take. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray. I don't know what the Lord is going to give me to pray about, but we're going to pray unto God, and we're going to pray especially for our youth. We're going to pray for our youth's parents and the people who deal with our youth on a daily basis, because a lot of things are going to change. And when I say the atmosphere is going to change, what it basically means is that many things are going to be put in place to to meet the needs of our youth, but it's going to be at a different place. And so we have to maintain and hold on to what we have because it's coming, I'm telling you. And so it's very important that we really invest in our youth because we don't want to lose them to any systems. We don't want them dying on the streets. We don't want them getting in trouble at school. We want to keep them as productive as possible. And I plead with you, if you have a child, you need to get a grip, which means you need to get a handle on whatever it is. Don't get frustrated. You have to hang on in there, you know. You really do. And I've been thinking about that this whole week, you know, because people just reading in the paper, they're getting frustrated, okay. And so we need to make sure that we keep our cool, that we continue to pray. And that's what we're doing tonight. That's why Wednesdays are always so special. Okay, so we're going to pray unto God. And then we're going to talk a little bit about our youth, just some things that the Lord has given me. And then after that, I'm going to give you announcements and bid you good night. But before I do that, I want to play this one song that I always play by Miss Karen. It's entitled, He is Faithful. And I'm going to play that. And think about how faithful God is. Think about all the things he's done and how he's brought you thus far, how he's helped you feel better. Just think about all the good things. So here we go.
You've been so faithful to me. In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. Was all gone when my heart had no song. Still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true.
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as you helped us to just see another day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to have traveling grace. We thank you for a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask that you continue to lead us and guide us in your holy will and help us to be still and to know that you are God. We ask that you crown our heads from the top to the bottom. We ask that you cool any fevers or any discomfort that is going on in the body. We ask that you help us to remain focused on you. We pray for those in the hospitals, those who are out of the hospital, and those who are going into the hospital. We ask a special blessing on those who know you and those who do not know you. We ask in the name of Jesus, which you continue to help us to walk to our destiny and continue to be obedient and trust you. In the name of Jesus, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless each parent knowingly and unknowingly and their child or their children in a very special way. We ask, would you continue to shelter and shield the children as they go off in their prospective places, help them to maintain their teachings and show them the way and lead and guide them on the right path. We ask that the road to destruction for our youth be removed. We ask that any yokes that are placed together be removed that would hinder the progress of any youth or any child all over this land and country. We ask a special blessing on those who are going through the process of bereavement. We ask that you continue to be the same God that you are each and every day. We ask that if they, meaning the individuals who have lost something or someone, need a comforter, would you comfort them? If they need a healer, would you heal them in the name of Jesus? We ask that you continue to bless this ministry to go higher and higher in the Word of God and to help those who are thinking about coming unto you to quicken their feet, and those who have turned away to help them to do a 180 and turn back in the name of Jesus. We ask, would our eyes be focused upon you? We ask, would our thing that comes out of our mouth be that of a revelation. We ask that our hands continue to be extended as service. We ask in the name of Jesus for a special blessing upon the youth project that we have going on. We ask for the spirit of patience with parents, with teachers, with everyone who deals with students. We ask for anything that is not in place to be set in place that can be controlled. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you help us, Lord, to continue to hold on to your promise. And we thank you, Lord, for the doors that have opened. We thank you for the opportunities. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the connections. We thank you for the friends. We thank you for the family. We thank you for the valley moments. We thank you for the mountain experiences. And we just ask, would you continue to help us each and every way. If there's anyone on this line, including myself, who is not 100%, we're asking in the name of Jesus, would you touch us from our head to our toes and anoint our head and take away this pain, this headache, take away any headaches, any allergy attacks, whatever it is, Lord, we ask that you take it away. Whatever is hurting our bodies, we ask, would you take it away in the name of Jesus. We ask, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for just being the God that you are. We ask that each person who's listening, those who are going to listen, receive a blessing from you, for sure will. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to keep us grounded in the Word and keep us founded in the Spirit. And we ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless this huge project, as I said before, that is going forth. Would you bless each person who will have a hand in it? Would you bless each youth who will actually participate in it? We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to be the fence all around us and help us, Heavenly Father, to do your holy and righteous will. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen and amen. And I would like to just say that I appreciate God, my family, and my friends for listening to the Love of Jesus ministry on tonight. And I want to say that I want to talk a little bit about the Built to Last conference that's coming up in April. But I also want to talk about our youth. And it's very important that we as a community, parents, teachers, educators, it's very important that we select at least one person, right? One child, whether it's your own or whoever it is. If you have more than one, then you have to select everybody, right? But if each person in each community would grab a hold to a child, it doesn't matter who it is. If you have your own children, then grab a hold to your own children. But if you would just grab a hold to one child that you are around and ensure that that child is being led and guided, led and you're able to guide that child in the right way, then that's helping make that child successful. We talked about the extension of the arm, and we talked about the brick wall, which God says that represents anger. And I'm going to be honest, he says that represents anger in our males, specifically our African-American males, whatever that anger is. It could be anger because of a divorce, anger because of financial difficulties. It could be many reasons that there is a brick wall and there we are, here we are, extending our hands, and they're on the other side. And eventually they're going to let our hands go because they're going to get frustrated. Why? Because society says that you are supposed to be normal. Society says that there are no flaws. Society says that sometimes, as I was speaking to a couple of lawyers and educators, sometimes society thinks that schools are mental institutions, and they're not. And so the whole spectrum, and the whole word that we want to get out as we write these proposals and talk to people is that the school structure is just that. And when we talk about the school structure, we're talking about the school structure globally. When we look at the data, and when we had a conference call, we talked about all of these things that happen in schools, such as the violent things like killings and things of that nature. And the whole structure is, where can these youth, where can they go? Where is their place of refuge? Even in the Bible, God says that we have a place of refuge. Where can they go? Because what happens is we keep them in a regular mainstream school, right, that's centered around the norms and the people who come and the people who serve there. Their background is centered around the norms. And then when you have abnormal things, whatever that is, then somehow someone gets neglected, not on purpose. And so in protecting the youth and in protecting just the schools and the structure, our question and things that we're going to propose is, in different communities in Texas and everywhere, what is in place for individuals who do not meet the norm? Because what's happening, and we had a debate on this, what's happening is many of the educators are leaving education. There's a shortage in education, ladies and gentlemen. This is no secret. Everybody's known this for years. There's a shortage in education. And so we wanted to know why. Why specifically is there a shortage in education? And we took polls from all around the world. I have people in different cities and states. I think we only had 100 representing, but that's still enough. And the number one reason was because some things the school is just not equipped for, and they get burnt out. You know, some things you can't fix, and someone had to tell me that a long time ago, just some things you just can't fix, and you have to move on, you know. But we're trying to not only meet the needs of students globally, but we're also trying to maintain our teachers as well. And so the whole point is we need to back it up, and we need to think about when the child was conceived. It's very important, and I'm being very serious what the Lord showed me today. It's very important that you are careful what you put in your body. There is a wiring in the brain and the synapse. There is a wiring in there. And if we put things in our bodies, such as drugs and alcohol, when you're carrying these children, then when they come in the world, they're going to still have those effects. And so what do you get? You get problems, a lot of problems going on. So it's very important to watch what you put in your temple, watch what you put in your body. We talked about that. That's part of health. You know, the second thing is we have to continue to love these youth. We have to continue to lead and guide them. Now, I was asked today, what do you do if you as the parent can't even lead and guide them? I said, well, the first thing is you got to pray. People don't like to hear that because they don't want to go through that process. They want you to say, I can fix it. And guess what? God says, you can't, right? Because some things just can't be fixed. For instance, I have big feet. There's no way that I can shrink my foot. You know, I mean, that's just genetic. And God says that's the same way it is with genetics, you know. And so there's some things that the school structure can fix, and we're constructing letters. And I said this before about getting people to be involved with their youth in the community, and we did that. And a lot of people are involved now with the youth in their community. But some things cannot be fixed. And what's happening, and the blog that I have, and many people are on it from all over the world, is that schools are becoming hospitals. And so you wonder why a student comes to you, professors, and they struggle in college. Some of them, not all of them, I said some of them, struggle in college. And it's because of the school structure. And when we talk about school structure, we're talking about the percentage of time that teaching actually goes on versus the percentage of time that class is interrupted, period. So the time that you're able to teach and the time that you're interrupted. And so we were talking about that. And it's very important that we meet the needs of all youth. Very important. Whatever they need, we need to meet those needs. But in the school structure is set up in a way that there's only so much psychological, right, value that can be given. Because if you think about it, teachers, when we took classes at the prospective colleges or universities, wherever it was, our main focus was curriculum, classroom management, and communication, basically. That's it, right? And much more, but that's the bulk of it. And so as a student teacher, I wanted to go to alternative schools to receive my experience. I wanted to get out of the bubble, if you will. And so pretty much God has blessed me where I can reach most students wherever I go, even at conferences and workshops. But the thing is, some schools or the school structure is not fit for just a lot of extremes. So our question is, where is or what is the place of refuge? Because you have a school structure globally, and you have these teachers who have been trained, certified, well qualified, highly qualified. What is highly qualified? You know, highly qualified is defined as taking a test and passing it. That's what highly qualified is. But our question, and what someone questioned me today in saying, is what environmental thing is set up outside of the regular structure of school that specifically rehabilitates different situations that can't be handled in the school? And that's a good question. Where is that place of refuge? Where is that special place? And as I said before, you know, many teachers were on that particular blog as well. And they said, you know, I come to work every day and I'm teaching my class. And here is, I'm just making up my name, Alfreda Love, who comes in my class every day, disrupts my class. She doesn't do her work. She's off task. She takes up everybody's time, you know. And so maybe particular structure for Alfreda may not be suitable, because there are some other things that can't be fixed that is causing me to act out like that. See what I'm saying? So we want everyone to be successful. And we're not saying that people have to be perfect. No, by no means. But if Alfreda is unsuccessful, the student Alfreda is unsuccessful at a regular school structure, where is my place of refuge? Because now I am taking up instruction time, because the teacher has to constantly call my name, Alfreda, 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 constantly call my name. I'm off task. I'm never where I'm supposed to be. So where is my place of refuge? Period. You know. And with those type of things, a lot of teachers say it's not a discipline thing. It's a teaching thing. That's things that need to be taught. And she's exactly right. Everything is not a discipline issue. Some things just need to be taught and wasn't. When we talk about taught, we're talking about behaviors and mannerisms and how you're supposed to act in the classroom. those things must be taught, period, you know. And so there has to be something in place. Where is the place of refuge? You know, we look at teacher retention. My dissertation was on teacher retention. And I'm saying this because I have a lot of people listening, and they want answers as far as the thoughts that I have and the other people who are working towards these huge projects. You know, where is the place of refuge? When you have kids who are, for instance, when we think about any shooting at any school, what we find is somebody was distraught, right? You can't really detect that. You can't really detect that someone is distraught and thinking about harming someone. But you can detect if someone has an extreme case behavior, which could result in danger. You can pretty much detect that. And so basically our question is, and what we're asking is, where is the place of refuge? And the school is not the correct answer. And so we want to make sure that we're embracing our students and youth. We want to make sure that our teachers are able to teach. Because when these students go off to college, the graduation rate is not so great because people end up dropping out because they're not ready for college. They wasn't prepared in school. Why wasn't they prepared in school? Survey says because the teacher spent more time correcting behavior than teaching. That's what the survey says. And some things aren't discipline things. Some things are just home training or I need more guidance and training, period. So discipline is teaching, believe it or not. Consequences is just that. It's the effect of the action, period. So I want you guys to pray about that because we want to make sure, my goal is to make sure that schools are set up as educational institutions, period, point blank. Who am I? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen? I belong to God. But what I'm saying is I need the schools to be educational institutions, period, point blank. Refuge, place that one goes in order to obtain more guidance in a smaller setting. Our teachers have to be able to teach our students. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. They have to be able to do that. And we're not saying globally that each student who walks into school has to be disciplined. I mean, that would be the perfect structure. But we know that that's not going to happen. I mean, we're just being honest. But the extreme cases where the teachers can no longer teach anymore, then they need a place of refuge, okay? And so, you know, youth really, there's really a huge place in my heart for youth because I can only imagine some of the things that some of our youth around the world have to go through. It's not fair to them. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we're setting them up for success, not failure. If you're not successful at one place, try something else. Try something different. And at the same time, we should utilize everything that we have to help our youth, period. And so we get to the point, let's fast forward, where our youth turn 15, 16, 17, 18. And here we go reading about different things that's happening in the streets. Or we hear about, you know, killings or suicides. We hear about all that because there is no place of refuge. I have to continue to stay in the mainstream, right? and fight my own issues. And there's no place of refuge. So pretty much, yeah, they're going to lose it when they get 15, 16, 17. There's no place of refuge. You can't force something that's not working, ladies and gentlemen. It just can't happen. You can't force something that's not working, period. If the door is not unlocked, you can bust it open, but you're not supposed to. You cannot force anything that's not working. If it's not working, try something different, you know. So we're going to really be looking and trying to help our youth, because a lot of people are frustrated. As I said before, I have a lot of friends around the world who are teachers, administrators, lawyers, doctors, you know, and we hear about this a lot. Our youth, you know. I go to Pacific meetings and things in Texas or around the world about our youth. And all we do is plan. And then I come back and I look online or I read in the paper. Our youth are gone. You know, we've got to start taking action. And as I said before, for those of you who are frustrated and you're listening, you can't fix everything. You really can't. Some things are genetic. You can't fix what I put in my body, what people put in their bodies. You can't do it. You can't fix it at all. There's no way you can fix what people put in their bodies. You can't fix it. You can't go in and rewire someone's brain. You can't go in and change their synapse. You know, you can't go in and change their cerebral cortex. Right? But what you can do, you can model and demonstrate. But when you're doing that, the person, the receiver, has to want to change. Doesn't matter how old you are, they have to want to change. And so we have to get the word out on what we're going to do as far as helping our youth build to last. We have to get them from pre-K all the way up to at least graduating from college. That's why I say it's very important that you take up with at least one child. If you have five, then you have to take up with five children. Simple as that. You know, but take up with at least one child. Make sure they get from pre-K all the way to graduation. And you have to find those resources or places of refuge so that the youth can be successful. And so we really want to focus on our youth. We really want to pray for them all this week. You know, we want to continuously put our youth in the forefront. We want to continuously encourage them when they're doing something well. You know, we want to continuously model what we're looking for. But also know that you can't fix everything. So if you're frustrated, you have to pray about that. You have to know, I can't fix everything, but I'm going to do what I can do. Because some things you just can't fix. And you have to come to that particular conclusion. You know? And as you know, as I said before, genetics is something you just can't fix. You know? I mean, that's just genetics. Big feet, genetics. That's something that nobody can control. That's just how I was born, with big feet, period. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about things we can control and can't, just so that I can give you an example. You can't control someone's home situation. Can't control it. You can't control what was put, what a parent consumed when they were conceiving a child. You can't control that. What you can control, though, is you can control the environment that you have them in, right? And you can model, you can praise, you can provide guidance, leadership, affection, professional affection. You can provide all of those things. That's something you can control. But the things that you can't, you have to pray about those things and let God control that. And your life will be much easier And it will not be so frustrating, and you won't get so upset and want to throw in the towel and say, forget it, and you want to stop teaching after 3 years. You want to stop teaching after 5 years. You got to hang on in there, you know, because, as I said before, you know, the question is, where is the place of refuge? We had a law entitled No Child Left Behind, and guess what? We're leaving a lot of our children behind. Was it effective? I don't know. But I know that a lot of children globally are still being left behind. So we need to revisit some things as a state on what No Child Left Behind is, as well as revisiting some school structures. Because what's going to happen is we're going to lose the educators who are gung-ho about teaching. And then we're going to just have to put people in there, warm bodies. So it's very important that you take care of the youth, you take care of your teachers, and everyone else. You know, so as I said before, from pre-K all the way to college, we need to make sure that we're getting these students and feeding them the right information and spending more time in instruction rather than distractions constantly, consistently, you know. We have to make sure that our youth are learning and our teachers are able to teach. And some of this, most of it, 90% of it starts at home, period, point blank. And I'm going to give you this one example, and we're going to stop here. I was telling someone today, as they were asking me this question, you know, I had a German Shepherd. And I allowed her to go loose in the back, in my backyard. She was loose in the backyard. And it was time for her to go visit, you know, the vet. And so all of the other dogs walked in quietly. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was barking. Nobody was bothering the cat that was sitting on the desk. None of that, right? All the dogs was, you know, sitting there quiet or sitting up with their head high and, you know, looking prissy. Mm-hmm. And so we walk in, my dog, and we walk in. Oh, my goodness. My dog started barking, jumping up and down, scared to poke cat. I mean, it was just chaotic, right? Why was that? It was because when my dog was at home, I gave her a lot of freedom. When she got in front of these other dogs, see, she wanted to show out, right? And all these other dogs were sitting quietly until my dog walked in. And my dog got everybody riled up, and all the other dogs started showing who they really were and started barking. So I told my dog, I said, sit down. And at first she kept going at the cat who was on the counter. I said, sit down. And I know it took me a good 5 or 10 minutes, and she finally remembered, oh, yeah, sit means sit down, basically. And she did. But it took me a good 10 minutes. Why? Because, as I said before, when she was at home, there were really no boundaries as far as where she could run because that's her backyard. But she has to realize, and I have to teach her, and that's my responsibility, not the vet's responsibility. That's my responsibility to teach her that when I take her to the vet, she needs to sit there like the other dogs. Right? And not jump up and scare the cat who's on the counter. So the next time we went to the vet, before we even got in there, I told her to sit to make sure that she remembered. And when we got in there, she wasn't doing all that barking. She sat down. So the same thing with human beings. We have to teach them. We have to lead and guide them. There's a difference between your freedom that you have at home and your freedom that you have in the public. Totally different. Totally different ball game. So that's what we need to, that's the type of language that we're teaching, reinforcing. So that's my spiel as far as my youth. Just continue to pray for them. You need to pray for them before they go to school, you know. Very important. People don't believe it, but I'm telling you, if you pray before you go anywhere, school, whatever, you'll have a better day. You just will. And that's just, it's just important to pray over your children. I mean, because you never know. I mean, it's, a lot of things happen. You just never know, and you have to keep them covered, covered by the grace of God. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Tomorrow we should have Psalmist Angela Blair, who would join us on tomorrow. And I really appreciate each and every one of you listening to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. And if anyone is on the line and would like to say something, you can do it at this time. If anyone is on the line and would like to say something. If not, I'm going to go ahead and go with the announcements. Please be sure to encourage your family and friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedalove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, writers, actress, different individuals, please Facebook at Free to Love. That's ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE. Or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the Love Live Jesus Ministry. Make sure that you continue to pray for 230 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one. And pray for the people you know and those you do not, and do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, make sure that you mark down April, the first Saturday in April, as we will have the Built to Last Huge Conference, where we will focus on our youth, because our youth are our biggest investment and we need to focus on them. Continue to pray for each and every person, including parents, students, educators, and any other person. Pray for patience, understanding, and just pray that we be better people for God. In addition to that, make sure that you continuously look at the Miss Oprah Winfrey page, as they have many classes that they are offering as far as life is concerned. If you look on my Love Media and Event page, you will see many individuals who have received numerous rewards. So please be sure to check that out. And also be sure that you just continue to trust God, and you continue to do as the Lord has asked, because we serve a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. And also, one more thing. Remember, on December 6th, we're going to celebrate Mr. Michael Tucci's journey as he began to go back into the mainstream of life and be a successful young man in college. So be sure to look out for that flyer again, December 6th, at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, where the Reverend Dr. Carrie Berkeley is our pastor. Make sure that you mark that on your calendars. And as I said before, make sure that you continue to be patient. Make sure that you pray for someone tonight. And if someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up, because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Elfrida Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.